This WGAN podcast is sponsored by Atlantic Pest Solutions. Is something bugging you? From ticks and bedbugs to mosquitoes and four-legged rodents, Atlantic Pest Solutions gives you protection and peace of mind. Don't panic. Contact Atlantic. They're on the web at AtlanticPestSolutions.net.
Okay, so last week, right about this time, I had a guest on, a gal by the name of Liz Harrington. She's a staff writer for CNSNews.com, and she was talking about an issue that occurred out in Sacramento. Let's get a brief recap of that.
The Justice Department filed a complaint against a public library in Sacramento, California. Basically, the library had started a pilot program that provided its patrons the opportunity to check out electronic book readers. You know, it was a new program and people can come in and check them out. Seemed like it was fine until the Justice Department, along with the National Federation of the Blind and Association of Blind People, filed a complaint against the library saying that these e-readers discriminated against blind people because they couldn't read them. The library partnered with Barnes & Noble specifically for this program, and so they purchased a lot of these Nook e-readers. Mm-hmm. And so the National Federation of the Blind said, well, wait a minute, you know, then they claimed that one blind person went into the library and couldn't use the Nook. But so they claimed that since it didn't have, you know, a text-to-speech voice, you know, reading the menu options and reading the book aloud, that it discriminated against blind people. So the Justice Department filed a complaint, and basically this past Wednesday, they settled with the library, and the library has agreed to not buy any more of the Nook readers, but buy at least 18, and they've decided to buy iPads, which have, you know, some text-to-speech options. And so they also have to do some sort of sensitivity training for their employees, you know, so they don't have this issue in the future.
Now, that was Liz Harrington from CNSNews.com. And immediately after the show, by the way, if you'd like to listen to that entire discussion, you can do so by going to our website, 560WGAN. Click on the Inside Main link, and you'll be able to find that. Now, after that interview, I got a call from a lovely gal by the name of Patricia Estes, who had some concerns about that that story, said that there were some misrepresentations in the story and that there's really more to it. Patricia is a graduate of Edward Little High School up in Auburn. She got early admission to Colby and Waterville. She's been legally blind since the age of about 10. She works currently in the wellness and nutrition field, and she was introduced to the National Federation of the Blind in 1976 and is actually past president of the Maine affiliate. She joins us now. Patricia, good morning, or good afternoon, I should say, and welcome to Inside Maine.
It is afternoon, and I am the present president.
Oh, okay.
National Federation of the Blind. No, that's okay. I get lost in which hat I'm wearing, too.
I understand. We're also joined by Mark Riccobono. Mark is originally from Milwaukee. He was diagnosed with glaucoma and aniridia at the age of 5. He graduated from the University of Wisconsin in 1999, and he is now the executive director of the National Federation for the Blind's Jernigan Institute, which is the only research and training institute in the country that was actually developed by and operated for people with sight impairment. Mark, good afternoon, and welcome to Inside Maine.
Thank you, Arthur. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Okay. Well, it's a pleasure to have you both here. Now, Patricia, tell us what the problem with that story last week was.
Well, first of all, I kept waiting for a phone number to call in. And, of course, I'm not familiar with formats, and sometimes you don't take calls, apparently, and sometimes you do, because I wanted to bring in a more balanced presentation of it.
Okay, and so the floor is yours. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I would want to know if that library, if that reporter contacted the National Center for the Blind, mm-hmm. Talked with anybody besides the one librarian. And really, there was another comment that, you know, they offered these accommodations, or they offered the Nooks, the e-readers, and yes, they're less expensive, but they're not accessible, and they're not the same thing as she said that the library also had audio reading accommodations for the blind. And what that usually means is that there are a few selections of books, a available for audio, either for the blind or the sighted. Sighted people like audiobooks. So, you know, the access was not equal in that you could go to that library and, as a blind person, and access any book the way someone could with an e-reader. That was accessible.
That's Patricia Estes. She is the main president of the National Federation of the Blind, and we're talking about the settlement out in Sacramento, California, between the Department of Justice and the Sacramento Public Library System. Mark Riccobono, tell us a little bit about the more global issue here with regard to e-readers and access to access for people with sight problems.
Sure. Well, to put this in perspective, you know, when the Americans with Disabilities Act was originally passed in 1990, the environment for technology was dramatically different than today, right? I mean, it was dramatically different 5 years ago. The internet, mobile devices, cloud computing, all of that is pervasive and all around us today. And so really we need to kind of flip our thinking about accessibility and access for people with disabilities. So in this case, you have a public library, and they're using public dollars to implement a new program. And they're implementing a program which is using digital technology. And digital technology is not inherently inaccessible. If you boil it right down to its basic level, it's ones and zeros. What happens is technology gets designed and then shuts out certain groups, and particularly powerfully, people with print disabilities, not just people who are blind, but people who have learning disabilities and who otherwise have difficulty working with print, we'd like to call them the print disabled, are going to have trouble accessing these e-readers and the features of them. Mm-hmm. So it's really totally against civil rights laws as we understand them and the equal access that we all want to implement a program that's totally inaccessible to a class of people. And the thing is, had they required Barnes & Noble, had they said, we'll only buy e-readers that are accessible, well, of course Barnes & Noble would have wanted to sell them and make e-readers that are accessible because they want that business.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Mark Riccobono from the National Federation for the Blind and Patricia Estes. She's the president of the main chapter there. Now, let me, at the risk of sounding insensitive here, the question that's on my mind here is that, okay, this was a pilot program. This was an investigatory effort, if you will, to find out whether or not e-readers made sense in a public library system. There, you know, I could make the argument that, okay, we're just testing this thing out. The standard e-reader, which does not have text-to-print or text-to-voice capability, is a lot less expensive than the more sophisticated apparatus that's out there now. I mean, you know, the Sacramento Public Library basically, as part of their agreement, said that they're going to get a whole bunch of iPads, which are capable of doing this. But In a trial, when you're just, you know, when you're in a proof of concept stage, it seems like to me that it's not unreasonable to just sort of try it out and see whether or not the people like them, and does the stuff get lost, does the stuff get stolen, does the stuff get broken? I mean, is this a sustainable problem or a program? I mean, I guess I'm having a little trouble understanding why this is. You know, why this was necessary at this stage.
So there's two things I would say to that. Would you say, yeah, it's okay for you to pilot that new educational program in that building that has 15 steps up to the door? Because it's just a pilot, and besides, you know, we've got to work out the kinks before we get to the people with disabilities. Well, no, you wouldn't tolerate that. At least I certainly hope you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So saying it's a pilot, really, it's a program of the library, and it's a public program. Okay, here's the second thing, though. We filed this complaint last fall. The Justice Department and the Department of Education put out a letter on this very issue, e-readers, in June of 2010, based on complaints we filed with Kindle programs that universities were looking at before that. So this is not a new issue. The American Library Association has had resolutions on this 3 years ago. So it's not like you are going to say, yeah, we're going to pilot an inaccessible product, but then when we get to the final, of course, we're going to go buy an accessible one. That wouldn't make sense either. Last thing I'd say is the expense actually is only an issue in this case because they didn't wrong in the first place. Apple, if you buy an Apple iPad or an iPhone, they're accessible from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be making lots of money off of them. And those devices aren't more accessible because of accessibility. They've made it a priority to build it in.
Right, and at significantly higher purchase price, too. I mean, let's be fair. I mean, the original Kindles were actually pretty, and the original Nooks were actually pretty remarkable technology, and they were bringing them out at a very low cost compared to the actual manufacturing cost. But I hear your point, and you know, I think you raise a good one when you're talking about the idea that. That the American Library Association, the DOJ, that this stuff had been out there for 3 years, and it sounds to me like you're presenting a case that the Sacramento Public Library basically ignored a standard that was already in existence. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yes, and the other thing I think one of the questions was, well, why not go after Barnes & Noble? And we have been talking to Barnes & Noble. But, you know, Barnes & Noble is a business, and what they say is, well, you know, our customers, like public libraries and schools and people, they're not asking for accessibility. So this is where we see the real benefit. When the libraries say, look, we can't buy it unless it's accessible, when the schools say, well, we love your product, but it's got to be accessible, they're going to make it accessible, and they're going to build it in as a matter of course. And by the way, the features are going to make it more usable for everybody. And then we also have accessibility built in, and then we're using our public dollars in a way that actually makes America better for everybody.
We're speaking with Mark Riccobono, who is the president of the National Federation for the Blind's Jernigan Institute, and also with Patricia Estes, who's the president of the Maine affiliate for the National Federation for the Blind. Okay, Patricia, what does NFB do here in the state of Maine?
Well, I wanted to just bring the what you had said about a pilot program to a more local flavor. And you probably remember, if you've been in Maine long enough, I'm not going to ask a sensitive question of whether or not you're from away.
Well, I ain't a muffin, but I've been in the I've been in the state for about 30 years, so I've been around a while.
Well, then you will remember the first pilot program of computers in the school system. One was in the Auburn Middle School, and they had iPads. And everybody was, oh my goodness, you're going to give middle school, you know, junior high school kids these computers. And that was a pilot program. These are the kinds of things that libraries could look, there is a history, and could look at and say, well, this was successful, this was usable. And the whole Auburn school system, and a lot of school systems now have gone to Mac products. Hence, libraries have to have both.
Mm-hmm. Patricia, we've got about a minute left, so I would like to get a better idea of some of the programs that the Maine chapter of the NFB
really excited about one new program for students and parents that we just introduced over the summer, and it will be going on. It's open to all blind students and parents and families and supporters, and we'll be meeting monthly.
Mm-hmm.
We have a website, nfb-me.org, and we have programs for independent living. We have programs for rehabilitation, and we're getting together in October in Auburn on the 27th. And Mr. Riccobono will be our keynote speaker, and people can come and check out what the cutting edge is for the blind community.
Patricia Estes, president of the Maine chapter of the National Federation of the Blind, Mark Riccobono, executive director of the National Federation for the Blind's Jernigan Institute. Thanks so much for joining us here on Inside Maine with Phil Harriman. Arthur King sitting in. Always a pleasure chatting with you folks. We'll be back right after this.